There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free. And things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Good evening. It's March 9th, 2008. Another Sunday night here with your friends at Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. I'm your host, Dave Schrader, along with me looking stunning as ever, Mr. Timothy Dennis. Good evening, Tim.
You flatter me.
Well, you're a pretty man. What can I say? Tim, we've got we got a great show lined up tonight.
Mm-hmm.
My first guest we're going to bring on, well, actually we have a special guest that's going to come with us in a minute here, but our first guest I booked with you in mind.
Oh, good.
Being the big baseball nut that you are. And I was pretty excited.
Thanks for calling me a nut.
Well,
I appreciate that.
Sometimes you feel like a nut, and sometimes you are.
You know.
We've got Dan Gordon is going to be joining us. He's written a book called Haunted Baseball, Ghosts, Curses, Legends, and Eerie Events. He's talked to a lot of the modern baseball players, talked to hundreds of them, as a matter of fact, to find out stories about haunted ballparks, haunted hotels that they've stayed at when they've gone out on, not on investigations, but out on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Just a great book, really interesting, and I thought this would definitely be something up your alley, and springtime's right around the corner. When is...
Spring training's already in effect.
See, there we go. We're already in place. See?
Not only that, but my favorite part of baseball, the haunted balls.
Yes, the haunted balls. Wait a minute. And then our guest, of course, for second hour, we're going to be talking to Michelle Bellanger. She'll be here talking to us about psychic dream walking.
Ooh.
Which, I want to talk to her about this because I'm interested. You know, it sounds a lot like astral projection, the way she explains it. Kind of a mixture of astral projection and Freddy Krueger kind of stuff. So I want to see if this is at all possible. If, in fact, by reading this book, we can learn to interpret each other's dreams and get into them and mess with each other's minds. Because it says in here, you can come in and you could tell distant family members messages. You could pass on vital messages to friends. Enjoy secret trysts with lovers.
Ooh.
All through psychic dreamwalking. So we're going to be checking that out in the top of the second hour.
A little psychic K99 now.
That's right. Now, hey, I do want to mention, too, Darkness Events. We have got a fantastic lineup of events coming up. The Rolling Hills event is currently up on our site right now. We're already half sold out on tickets. Only 150 tickets are going to be sold for this event. It's our smallest TAPS Darkness Radio event that we're going to be doing. There's only 150 tickets. We're going to be going out to Haunted Rolling Hills Asylum out in East Bethany, New York. While we're there, we're going to get to do an investigation with the guys, Jason Grant from TAPS, Chris Fleming, Patrick Burns. We've got Stacy Jones, the ghost cop. Even our good friend and demonologist, Mr. John Zaffis, is going to be on hand.
Very cool.
We're going to have just a great time, so I hope everybody will check it out and come on out and join us. Again, tickets are half sold out already. Come out there. The cool part is on Friday the 13th, after the regular investigation ends at 2 a.m., the entire guest lineup, all of our guests that have paid to come to this event, get to come and hang out with us for the night and spend the entire night inside Rolling Hills Asylum and investigate.
And then a strange man who escaped from the asylum with a machete will show up. And it's just anybody's guess who survives.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it should be a good time.
Excellent.
We also have the Queen Mary for December 2008 and the Stanley for 2008 in November. That is almost sold out already for the Stanley event. So if you're interested in the Stanley event, that is our top selling event. We always blow through those tickets. You know, we're 10 months away and we're already almost sold out. So if you're interested, considering it, jump on it. That's going to be a great opportunity. But... you know, for all the people that get to go out and see all these events, you know, we also get hired out to events. We get to go out and do things like we're going to be out in OmegaCon in Birmingham, Alabama this coming week. Again, if you want information, look up OmegaCon in Birmingham, Alabama. I think it's OmegaCon.us. Tim, maybe you can look that up during the commercial break for us. I apologize for not having it on hand, but I'm going to be out at OmegaCon doing a couple of different talks on the paranormal, leading a couple of panels and working with some of the other experts in the paranormal field. So that's going to be exciting to be a part of. Got other events that are going to be happening throughout the summer. So keep checking the Darkness Radio webpage for all the updates. But Tim, you've got something exciting coming up. You're going to be working with our good friend, Chad Kalick.
I do. AGH Events.
Yeah.
American Ghost Hunter Events, or AGH Events. There's actually an event that's posted right now. If you go to myspace.com/AnAmericanGhostHunter, Chad and the gang have a trip that's set up only for 20 spots.
Well, why don't you bring him up and let's talk with Mr.
Do we have to?
Yeah, we have to.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's
there
what
he
you
is.
Do when you have guests on a radio show. Good evening, Chad.
Hey, what's going on? How you guys doing?
Doing great. Thanks for coming out and sharing some time with us again this evening.
Right on. Absolutely, man. It's good to be here.
Well, we had you on the show, geez, a little over a year ago.
Uh-huh.
Unfortunately, we beat you up with a nasty little joke. And for people that are interested in that, go to our MySpace page and go to the Darkness Radio MySpace page. And there's the Terror Normal tragic joke that we played on poor Chad and Adrian. But we had you on a little over a year and a half ago. You guys have had a lot of stuff go on in your lives. And you're off and running with a couple of new big type things that are going to be going on. And this one, I'm ready to blow the lid off of. Tim, I don't know if you heard about this, but Chad Kalick has signed with George Lucas, Steven Spielberg. He's refilming the reimagining of all six Star Wars movies, nice. Starring the Blue Man Group.
Oh, my gosh.
Pretty exciting. Wait. See, people have been wanting this information, and Chad keeps tagging them along online, and they won't give it.
Here's the money word,
finally,
right?
Finally, the story has broke right here on Dr.
Blue Man
Radio.
Group, all Star Wars movie musical.
Here's your money character right here, Chad, Blue Yoda.
Yes.
Think about it.
Blue Yoda. So, Chad, let's talk about this event you have coming up. Tell them what's going to be going on. This is exciting stuff. Go ahead and let us hear about it.
Yeah, I'm real excited. It's on May 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th. It's actually a four-day, three-night event. It's out in it's in Philadelphia, but it's actually on the outskirts of Philadelphia and in a town called Roslyn, Upper Dublin. Let me give you a little history on this place. It dates clear back to the American Revolution. In 1977, once the British had captured Philadelphia, Washington was forced into the Upper Dublin area known as White Marsh and his troops. A few days, I think it's actually a week later. If you go to the website, you can hear the history. The gentleman who owns the place, his name is Glenn Nathan. You might have seen him on The Real World Los Angeles years ago. He's actually quite the historian. But back to the history, basically, General Cornwallis tried to end the American Revolution by ambushing Washington in this White Marsh area. And the area where this ambush actually took place and this battle took place is on a 10-acre plot, which is now known as the Dannebrog Perch Estate. My friend Glenn has owned the place since, I think, 2003. A couple years ago, I had the chance to go there and investigate the place, and it's a story I really want to save for the event because it was probably one of the most intense and shocking things I've ever experienced. It's the only location I've ever been to where I left the property, left the house, and refused to come back, and I actually haven't been back since. What's really exciting for us, too, is not only is the event going to be the first paranormal event in the history of the entire property to be there, and everybody have the chance to come out and investigate a battlefield of Washington and Cornwallis, but the American Ghost Hunter film that we're making really is geared towards taking people to some of the most unknown places, but yet some of the most haunted places that the AGH crew, myself, Justin, and Joe have experienced over the years. And we're actually going to be filming on site as well, so everyone that's going to be there is going to get a chance to be in the movie, be in the extras. It's a camping out event. We're providing everybody with all the food, all the drink, and the forest is haunted as can be, the house is haunted as can be, and so you're never really not investigating. You're there the entire time, and our good friend Adam Bly is going to stop by, give a nice little speech for us on the paranormal as well. He's going to be doing a group light painting for free for everybody. Everyone's going to get autographed first-run special edition American Ghost Hunter posters.
Now, let's make sure we do clarify that, though. Adam Bly is going to do one large group light painting photograph that everybody can get a copy of. It won't be each person getting their own individual light painting, right? Okay, I just wanted
to
verify that.
absolutely. No, yeah, I mean, yeah, like you say, you'd be out there all day if you did.
That's right.
but no, it's really, really exciting. We've sold half the spots in our first 24 hours out of the gate.
Great.
We're super pumped up. I mean, it's going to be really something different that we're trying to build and bring to the whole event community, I guess you can call it. And yeah, it's going to be a great time. It's going to be a big party, and we're going to have a special 2-hour investigation that we're going to announce at the event of a location that is pretty amazing. I don't want to give too much away, but I could say it's a building that dates back to 1650, and it's the oldest establishment of its kind in America. So it's going to be some pretty big stuff. I mean, we're really excited to get out there and just have a good time.
Very cool. Now, how can people get information and sign up for your event?
Absolutely. Just go to myspace.com/AnAmericanGhostHunter. That's A-N, American Ghost Hunter. And you'll see a big banner there for it. Just click on it. It'll take you right where you can see, you know, a detailed history, paranormal activity. And this place is haunted, Dave. I mean, there's reports of, you know, full-bodied apparitions all the time. A door got blown off the hinges there. The tables around the living room, the chairs around the living room are always knocking over on themselves. Toys are starting by themselves. pictures taken at inside the house all the time. No matter what you do, it come out blurry, and we don't have a lot of those on display. It's a really, really haunted place, but it's a lot of fun. I don't think there's anything that's bad that's going to hurt you, but there's definitely a lot of active stuff. So if you just go to, myspace.com/AnAmericanGhostHunter, click on the Danny Brook banner, and you can read all the history about it, and you can get your ticket.
Well, we'll also throw up a banner at Darkness Radio. Our buddy Tim is going to be here. Darkness Radio Tim's going to be out there joining it and hosting along with you guys. So you get a chance to go out and hang out with Tim and see what's going on. See, this is where, if you're watching the old Wild Kingdom, mm-hmm. This is like Marlon Perkins and Jim. See, you just said that crazy stuff has happened. Doors are blown off the hinges. Chairs are moving around. So I'm going to sit back in the radio station where it's safe. Meanwhile, Tim's going to go out and investigate the ghost.
They're going to throw me in the haunted outhouse. So
I'm so excited to have Timmy out there. I know Tim has proclaimed to me in the past that he's paranormally challenged.
Not paranormally challenged. A paranormal jinx.
Yes.
Well, trust me, if there's any place in the world that I know of, Tim, where you're going to experience it, it's going to be at Danny Brook. So we're stoked to have you out there with your gangster swagger, you.
I've been told that before.
Well, Chad, we appreciate you coming on the show. And again, for people that are interested, they can go to an American Ghost Hunter myspace.com/AnAmericanGhostHunter.
Absolutely.
And you'll be able to sign up there to get the information for it. We'll put up a link and a banner up at darknessradio.com. I'll have that up right after the show. We'll throw that banner up so that people can find you and sign up for that. And it is you guys are doing a very small group for this as well, is that right?
Yeah, we're doing a very small group for this. We have a couple other events that we're going to be announcing here coming up that are going to be larger. But this is, again, it's a private 10-acre estate, so we had to work really hard to really kind of get this opened up to the public. And Glenn really kind of wants to keep this one small.
Okay.
And, you know, we'll see where it goes from the future, but, you know, it's a great opportunity, so we're really excited about it. And thanks for having me on, Dave. I really appreciate it.
Hey, Chad, it's a pleasure, and let us know as more things are happening and you can actually release some news to us. Give us a call, and we're going to be looking forward to the brand-new Blue Man version of Star Wars 1-6. All right. Take care, my friend.
Right on. Take care, guys.
Thank you. You're listening to Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. We're going to take our first break of the hour, and we're going to come back with more and Dan Gordon talking about haunted baseball.
The New York Times has raved about the show. The Star Tribune says it's paranormally funny. And the Biscayne Bugle said, how could they put this crap on the air and live with themselves?
I am so sorry for everything that has happened. Because in spite of what Mike says now, it is my fault. Because it was my project. Everything had to be my way. And this is where we've ended up.
Stay tuned. There's more to come from the darkness on the edge of town.
In the Amityville Horror, the ghost told them to get out the house. White people stayed in there. Now that's a hint and a half for your ass. A ghost say get the out, I would just tip the out the door. They walked and looked in the toilet bowl with blood in the toilet.
I said, that's peculiar.
I would have been in the house and said, oh, baby, this is beautiful. We got a chandelier hanging up here, kids outside playing. It's a beautiful neighborhood. We ain't got nothing to worry. I really love them. This is really nice. Too bad we can't stay, baby.
We're the type of guys who would have stayed just for the extra company. Welcome back to the darkness on the edge of town.
We're here with you every Sunday night live from 10 to midnight Central Time. If you can't listen to us live, remember that we archive all of our shows. Just simply go to darknessradio.com, click on the Listen tab, and you can tune in and listen to the last 2 years' worth of archives right there on the site. I want to mention we also have a new sponsor on the show, Tim, Mr. Dean Haglund, the comedian and actor from The X-Files, known as Langley. He did the comedy show for us at the last two Queen Mary events. Had such a great time. Last comedy show we did there, it was a comedy improv show. And he brought Jason, Grant, Chris, and Patrick up on stage at different intervals during the show and incorporated them into the show. Probably one of the funniest comedy specials and skits I've seen in a long time. Mm-hmm. And he has those DVDs for sale. So if you are interested, you weren't able to attend, but you want the comedy DVD, all you have to go is go to deanhagland.com. That's H-A-G-L-U-N-D, deanhagland.com, and you'll be able to see the information there. The other item I want to talk to you about is a really cool item that Dean actually won a silver medal for as an inventor. It's called the Chill Pack, And what it is it's like an ice pack for your computer. It actually slows, it cools down your computer, your laptop, so you can actually use it as a laptop again. Mm-hmm. It's got a special condensation sleeve in there so that you never get any moisture on your computer, keeps it cooled. It'll actually speed up your computer because I guess as the CPU gets hotter, things start to slow down.
Oh, yeah.
So this will actually boost the productivity of your laptop again. You throw it in the freezer. You can use it for about 3 hours on a crack. I love it. When I'm at home and I'm sitting there doing my work, I don't work without it anymore. So I'd highly recommend you pick up a chill pack. I think they're only like $23.95. I know, bad sponsorship, right? I don't even have the
yeah,
price,
nice.
But it's like $23.95, $24.95, something like that. Go to deanhaglund.com. Take a look at the site for yourself. You're going to love it. It's a great item, and I would highly recommend it. I use it all the time.
One thing we found out about that DVD, about that show with Grant, is that if they ever remake the Police Academy movies, Grant's in for the cop that does the sound effects.
Yes, Grant is the new Michael Winslow.
Oh, yeah.
How sad that I know that guy's name.
That is pretty sad.
All right. Well, we're going to go back into the show this evening. I do want to make a quick mention. Next week, March 16th, we're going to be doing a show with Chris Fleming, the psychic sensitive from Dead Famous. He's got a bunch of new projects in the works. The thing I wanted to talk to Chris about was we just came back from the Queen Mary event, and I had a very impactful moment with Chris when we were on in the pool, the first class pool, when we were hunting for the little girl's ghost of Jackie. Chris actually began to channel, and it's one of the more powerful things to see in person. When you watch it on TV, it looks so silly and flipping and flopping, but when you see it and you see the racked pain in this man's face as spirits are trying to come through him, it really threw me for a loop. I didn't know how to respond to it or how to react. I told Chris it was a very disarming moment, so I wanted to have him come on the show. We're going to discuss it. We're going to play actual audio from the channeling session at the Queen Mary, and we're going to talk to Chris about how people can protect themselves against unwanted ghosts channeling themselves or pushing themselves through you, how you can protect yourself from that. And also, we're going to talk to him about what are the do's and don'ts if somebody is transmediumship like that and they're bringing through spirits. What should you do? And sadly, I was failing miserably, Tim. I didn't know. I was actually trying to, you know, communicate with Chris as he was trying to push all these spirits through, and you can't rush when they're making these connections. So it's little tips like that we're going to talk to Chris Fleming about. Again, if you want to check that out, it's next week, brand new show with Chris Fleming here on Darkness on the Edge of Town. Tonight's show, we're going to start off right now with our guest, Dan Gordon. And Dan has written a book called Haunted Baseball: Ghosts, Curses, Legends, and Eerie Events. And again, I mentioned that I really wanted to have this on with spring training in full swing and Tim being a huge fan of baseball. I'm really psyched about it. I can't wait. We're going to be talking about touchdowns and handling the stick. And
you got to love it.
wrong sport? I'm sorry.
Well, sometimes in the locker room.
Well, we'll talk to him about that. He's actually gathered accounts from interviews with over 800 current and former league players and coaches and a few hundred more stadium workers. The book contains firsthand stories from some of baseball's biggest names who talk about ghosts in ballparks, haunted visiting team hotels, and curses far beyond those of the Cubs and the Red Sox. And our buddy here, Dan Gordon, he bleeds red for the Red Sox. So let's bring him onto the network with us. Good evening, Dan. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Sox.
So you must have been pretty happy when you guys broke the curse a couple years back, huh?
Oh, it was a lifetime worth of suffering suddenly, you know, transformed. It was great. Yeah.
How sad that the major transcendence of it is the fact that Jimmy Fallon happened to be on hand filming a movie with Drew Barrymore. And do you think that's what broke the curse for you?
I think
we got to have Jimmy Fallon at every home game now, Dan. What's going on?
There's so many people that claim to have broken the curse. I mean, just about every fan in New England.
Well, now you're big into baseball. You started falling in love with it in 1975. You said when your father took you to Fenway Park, right? Tell us a little bit about the book. What inspired you to write a book about haunted baseball? I mean, that's an interesting topic, and I didn't even know that there were haunted ballparks. I've heard of the jinxes and the curses that have been placed on people like the Boston Red Sox and the Cubs, but all the ghost stories I wasn't familiar with. What really got you inspired to get into something like that?
Well, it really grew out of, you know, both my interest in baseball, of course. You know, just having, you know, grew up in the area, you know, with a team that, you know, has so much history and tradition to it, and you know, the ballpark itself, Fenway Park, is just, you know, you can feel, you know, the history when you're there walking through the corridors, and, you know, they preserve so much of it. And, but I recently, back in the mid-1990s, I went out to, I've been writing on baseball for many years, and I went out to Cape Cod to work on a memoir about some baseball travels I did. And while I was out there, I actually started getting interested in the ghost stories on Cape Cod, and they're just, you know, the Cape is on one of those hot spot, you know, areas where there are just so many stories, and, you know, you hear them everywhere you go in diners. And so I ended up becoming a book called Cape Encounters, and I just started wondering whether, you know, these stories also exist in the game. I mean, you know, there are so many cursed stories, and the game is so steeped with, you know, with history, and there's so much nostalgia and reflection on the past, and, you know, spirituality in the game, and all of that together. And I just wondered whether, you know, these stories were there. I mean, there's the movie Field of Dreams and all these other movies with some kind of paranormal in it, but there weren't really that many stories out there. So that's what got me interested in took off from there.
Now, have you had a chance to actually go out and investigate any of these purported haunted locations, or were you just collecting and gathering stories from all of the players and the people that have been there?
Yeah, I didn't really feel qualified. I mean, my background is more of a writer than, you know, I mean, so I kind of, we just went around and we interviewed. I mean, we talked to, but not just our player. You know, we talked to, as you mentioned, over 800 players, but we also talked to...
Wait, Dan, did I just hear you say you didn't feel qualified? I don't know if you know this, but two of the most popular ghost hunters in the world are plumbers. Come on now.
Well, I mean, I kind of viewed myself kind of more as just trying to record what these stories that are out there, because, you know, there are so many, you know, stories, and
sure,
the players talk about them all the time, and it just wanted to get it down for, you know, and chronicle what's out there. And that's kind of how we went about it. I teamed up with a classmate from college who's been helping another. I mean, he's been writing for many years too, and been advising me in my writing. And he's a Yankees fan, actually. So it's kind of a.
And you guys still get along?
yeah. Well, you know, it's fun. It's like very rare, but it's possible.
Well, now tell us a little bit about it. Let's talk about some of the curses. People are not familiar, and Tim, I think you might be surprised to know this.
What's that? I think
I actually know the curse from the Boston Red Sox.
Really?
It's because they got rid of Babe Ruth, right?
Well,
isn't that it? And they were kind of cursed from that point going forward. It went over to the Yankees. He went over to the Yankees, and it was kind of a curse then that was on the Red Sox from that point going forward, that they would never succeed again because they got rid of Babe Ruth. Am I right? Come on, Dan, help me out here. Man, that giggle's not good.
I was going to giggle. Actually, it's because somebody accidentally, you know what, in Babe Ruth's chowder.
Oh, no.
And,
that's not good.
Yeah, and that's how the whole curse started. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it just, it all traces back to that. But actually, people didn't really start talking about that whole idea of, you know, the Babe Ruth sale causing the curse until the mid 1980s. Before then, you know, we just thought, like, it was just hard luck. And then, you know, a couple of journalists mentioned it, George Vesky in the New York Times, and Dan Shaughnessy ran with it and wrote a book. He's a columnist for the Boston Globe. He wrote a book about it, and that's when people just thought, you know, then we just heard about it ad nauseum, you know. And but, you know, we interviewed a lot of players, and very few players actually bought into it. They do buy into some of the other curses, but, you know, this is kind of more of a fan-driven thing that, you know, many people believed in.
Dan, do you think that Babe Ruth actually had hard feelings towards the Red Sox at the end of his life? That something like this could actually be believable? Because, as you said, it was kind of just a myth that kind of grew throughout the 80s. But, I mean, if you think about it, you know, Babe Ruth had a pretty darn good career at the, no offense, as a Yankee.
Yeah.
And who's to say that he just didn't move on and, for you know, put the Red Sox in the rearview mirror?
Hard to say. I mean, you know, we all know that he's a pretty easygoing guy in many ways, and, you know, he never didn't seem to hold many grudges, so it's hard to know whether he actually would have, you know, kind of held on to something like that, but you never know. I mean, it's not something, maybe it just was something that wasn't reported on, but, I mean, there is the idea that many Yankees fans, and actually many of the players on the Yankees, including, like, a lot of the stars, like, believe that that Babe Ruth actually helps the Yankees, and they talk about it, you know, that certain times the ball will go over the fence or something will happen bizarre in the game that helps the Yankees out, and they think that it's the ghost of the Babe, and actually some of the other, like DiMaggio and Gehrig and some of the other, you know, legendary players for that team.
I hear the ghost of Babe Ruth, the only thing he does is leave Chivas Regal in the locker room, and somehow Alex Rodriguez ends up with a new girl every week, so... That's kind of the curse of the Babe right there.
Yeah.
Well, what are some of the other famous curses that you said that they do believe more in?
There was a curse all the way up into 2002. It was an injury curse in Anaheim. It was widely believed that the ballpark, it's now called Angel Stadium, but it's gone by a number of different names over the years, that was built over a Native American burial ground and site. And
oh, of course.
Yeah, I mean,
everything's built over a Native American burial ground.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of like, you know, actually, you know, just like in other things, you know, that where those types of rumors existed, they do exist with several ballparks. And you know, that was something that was, you know, players were really convinced, and they talk about, you know, just a bizarre number of injuries and really tragic injuries that happened on the team that made players believe this. And you know, Kent Merker, he was the pitcher with now he's with I believe he's back with the Reds, but he collapsed on the mound. He was told like a couple of days before after he got there that he had that the place was cursed. A few of the ball players were talking about it, and then he had a blood clot on the mound, and you know, he was in the brain, and you know, it was a pretty bizarre thing, and he was, you know, out for two seasons. Look, fortunately, he lived, you know, so it was kind of. But there have been a lot of players that have been shot and been car accidents and really strange things that happened to a lot of the star players too. You know, guys getting, you know, hit by a foul ball and blinded, you know, for life, and you know, that kind of thing. Been a lot of things over the years. So
now, Dan, the Angels were owned by Gene Autry at one time, weren't they?
Right.
Here's my thought. Gene Autry's taking people out with a six shooter. It saves the saves the room under the salary cap. If you get rid of certain star players, I think the curse has been solved.
That would be very convenient.
Yes.
Yeah, actually, they kind of called it the cowboy curse, you know, cowboy and Indian curse thing, you know, kind of just some simplification of that whole thing, because he is always, you know, wearing a cowboy hat. And,
right, but now if we look at this, though, Dan, I mean, the players that were getting shot and hurt and sick, were these people that kind of thugs, and maybe they were doing some drugs and being in places they shouldn't be? Did it have? I mean, it's not like they, you know, rolled up to the front of the Angel Stadium and were out waving, and you know, suddenly they're Bobby Kennedy'd on the spot, right? I mean, it's something that was. Well, suddenly I get a dirty look from Tim. I guess, is it still too soon to do Bobby Kennedy jokes?
You just told the guy from Boston, Bobby Kennedy.
Well, right, but I mean, that's the thing is, you know, these guys talk about these curses.
It's 36 years.
Right. They talk about these curses, and, well, all the players on our team. Well, yeah, but all the players on our team are acting like thugs and morons, and they're out in places they shouldn't be buying crack cocaine in the middle of the night. Yeah, they're going to get their ass shot from time to time. I mean, does that have anything to do with a curse, or is it just stupidity on the player's part?
Well, some of these things, I mean, sometimes it's a curse, but actually with the players that got hurt with that, there was a guy, Lyman Bostock, who's a very, very popular player, and actually, you know, he's actually considered a role model by many other players, and, you know, really well-liked, and he was out with his uncle, picked him up after a game, and they were out, and his goddaughter was sitting in the back seat. It was the first time he'd met her, and he'd only known her for like 20 minutes when some guy pulled up alongside their car and shot, you know, at her, because it turns out she was his estranged wife, and he actually missed her and killed him. You know, so sometimes it was.
So
you know,
wait,
it was
the shooter
really
was the shooter was the estranged wife?
No, sorry. She was the target was the estranged wife.
Oh, okay.
The target was
the estranged wife, and she was and the goddaughter was actually killed instead of.
Lyman Bostock was actually killed.
Oh, Lyman. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. But they've had like bizarre things of one guy, Johnny James, in the very first year of existence, he broke his arm delivering a curveball. You know, he was like a rookie phenom, and you know, there was a guy, outfielder Ken Hunt, the following year broke his collarbone in the on deck circle. It just goes on and on, like every year.
In the on deck circle.
Yeah, and they've had several things in the on deck circle actually. You know, Gary DeSarcina was hit with a fungu bat from a coach, George Hendricks. You've had a guy hit with a foul ball, and he was blinded. And Art Fowler actually is kind of a funny name, but he took a BP ball to the head and went blind in his left eye. They've had, you know, just bizarre things. They've had guys.
So Art Fowler took a foul ball, and now he's blind because of it. Well, that's kind of like Lou Gehrig. Why would you name the guy after a disease?
I know.
Is that right?
It's tragic.
So sad. Now, all right, so we know about the Angels curse now.
So this is the only team in the major leagues that should have a net around their on-deck circle, one. And then, two, Dan, how did this curse eventually end? Was it the death of Gene Autry? I mean, what broke the curse?
Yeah, that's what some players claim. Some players just claim, I mean, you know, looking back on it in retrospect, some players kind of, you know, starting to, you know, back away from that idea a little bit. But it's hard to say. I mean, like, what actually broke the curse of the Bambino, you know? I mean, I think that, I mean, I'm more of a believer in some of the ghost stories that were in the game, but some of these curse, sometimes the curse stories are just kind of a way for fans to kind of, you know, just
salve our wounds for why we blow, right?
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
One of our listeners goes by the name Empty Nest online. She says, I've got a shirt that says, I guess there was never a curse, and on the back it just says, they just sucked for 86 years. And that's pretty much probably a lot more truth to that than there is that the curse of the Bambino, right?
Exactly.
That's the other thing I never got. The big curse is that the Babe threw a curse on them for trading him. He made millions more and became a major superstar as a Yankee. Why would he curse the Red Sox for getting rid of him?
Right, it became a, you know, national,
Although, if I understand correctly, it wasn't the Babe that actually put the curse on the team. It was the fact that so many fans were so turned off by the fact they got rid of the Babe, right? That's where they just kind of based it. It was from that point forward, going forward, that the team just sucked because they gave away the best thing they ever had happen to them.
Yeah, it was certainly losing the best thing that ever happened to them. Certainly hurt them a lot. Yeah, I mean, you could blame it, trace it to the ownership. I mean, they've had, you know, at least from the 1940s forward, they had an owner who was really, you know, never choosing, you know, always choosing players that were too old, you know, the stars that were very old. And so they've kind of had bad management or whatever, but, you know, it's... You know, certainly some of the things that happened over the years, you know, certainly made us scratch your head. You know, they came so close so many times, and, you know, they certainly knew how to break our heart year after year.
Well, let's talk about some of the ghost stories that intrigued you most. Wait, Tim, you have one more question?
Well, I had one more curse, one more for the curse files,
okay.
Actually. is this true or not, Dan, that the curse that's been on the Chicago Cubs happened from a goat?
Yes.
Exactly, yeah.
A goat.
You can actually visit the Billy Goat Tavern, which is the tavern where the guy used to own his goat, and he used to bring his goat to the games, and then one day they decided, see, Dan, I don't even need you. I know the story, too.
Wow.
See how I am? And they wouldn't let the goat in, so the guy kind of spit on him and said, you'll never win again, and he left, and they never won again.
Yeah, it's pretty much it, yeah. He actually, the goat actually did get in. I mean, he had a... He argued his way in, and
the goat argued his way in. Bad call.
Well, I'm sure it added to the the noisiness of the argument.
Exactly.
But they got through and they got into the seats, you know, and everyone was upset. But it was kind of a misty rain going on, and the goat was smelling bad, so fans started complaining. So the ushers finally had a reason to get rid of this guy and his goat.
That's why I'm not allowed to bring Tim to the Twins games anymore.
Pretty much, yeah. I should shower before them, but I never do.
It's an indoor ballpark, so
that's what makes it worse. The air just keeps recirculating. All right, so let's talk ghosts now. What was the first ghost story that you collected doing this book?
The very first story was the Vinoy Hotel. We had a lot of hotel stories, and, that's just one of the most popular stories in the game. It's the idea that the old wing of the Vinoy Hotel is haunted, and they have tons of players that claim to have seen somebody in their room or somebody sitting on their chest. One ball player, John Switzer, reliever, and now with the Red Sox, actually. But he believes that a picture hanging on the wall behind him came to life, and a woman in a Victorian dress and holding a garden basket was scratching at the picture to get out. You know, there's just a lot of bizarre stories coming from that hotel. So that was the very first thing, but you know, then we started hearing about the ghost of Yankee Stadium, and it just kind of snowballed. You know, it just
so this is one of the hotels that they go to when they're traveling,
and they're
just harassed in this one room by a spirit, supposedly, or a couple of them.
Yeah, and this whole section of the hotel actually, and it's kind
and
of
where is that located? It's called what? The Benoit Hotel.
Oh, okay, yeah, it's Vinoy Hotel, Renaissance Vinoy. It's actually in St. Petersburg. It's the visiting hotel for the Tampa Bay Devil Rays. And tons of players, you know, lots of guys won't stay there anymore. Some guys sleep with the lights on. But it goes beyond baseball. It's been something that's been, you know, there have been lots of reports over the years of that hotel, and there's been, you know, there have been investigations that, there too. So it's been kind of, you know, it definitely has a reputation.
Oh, okay. And then now, what about the ghost of Yankee Stadium? What can you tell us about that?
Well, it, a lot of guys, both on the Yankees and visiting guys, told us that, you know, that it's a real phenomenon. And it started, you know, my very first clubhouse that I went into was the Baltimore Orioles, and I got credentialed by Mickey, my co-author, and I got credentialed to just about every clubhouse. And when we went in there, you know, guys would inevitably say, if they didn't have a ghost story, they'd always say, go talk to the Yankees. But a lot of guys, too, visiting guys, talked about the, you know, just being intimidated going in there. And they said at certain moments the wind will pick up and, you know, suddenly get cold, and then something bizarre happens favoring the Yankees. And they all think it's the ghost of the Babe and Gehrig and DiMaggio again helping out. But they, you know, but guys from the Yankees too, and current and former players, guys like Derek Jeter and Alex Rodriguez, but even older guys like Ricky Henderson and Dave Winfield, tons of guys. They just talk about, you know, how it definitely happens, and that, you know, definitely at certain moments they can feel the ghost, and or they, you know, they kind of feel a breeze. Sometimes they hear things too. They talk about hearing, you know, someone taking cuts in the batting cage when no one's there. They talk about kind of like feeling like someone's tapping on the shoulder when they're passing through the tunnels. And there's often Buck Showalter, a former manager of the Yankees, used to sleep there at night when he had a day game following a night game. And he says that he'd hear rustling in there late at night, rustling noises. And he thinks it was the Babe actually coming in after a late night drinking. But, you know, it's just kind of bizarre stories that the guys have.
Now, when you were doing that, I know you said you didn't get to do any investigating, but aside from the whole feel of, you know, the history of these locations that you
sure,
went into,
sure.
Did
yeah.
you ever get the sense that you were being watched, or that something was there, or were you ever touched or felt like somebody was breathing on your neck when you were doing any of the walkthroughs of these, you know, ball clubs?
Maybe not really, but at Dodger Stadium, there's been a lot of reports at Dodger Stadium, and that's mostly from the workers there, you know, I got a chance to walk through a lot of the tunnels, and Dodger Stadium's built into Chavez Ravine. It's actually kind of a hill, and its tunnels go way down deep into the hill, and it's kind of very, very, you know, eerie down there, and kind of, you know, you do get the sense of, like, I do feel, you know, felt myself looking over my shoulders. I never had anything, you know, really definite happen to me there, but I heard some very eerie stories there, guys talking about seeing, you know, having some and follow them at night when you're working late at night in the ballpark, and like hearing a child's footsteps or a woman in high heel. Lots of security guards swear by that. Guys talk about also, you know, seeing someone on the field sometimes walking across the field late at night. And one of the guys, that's in the L.A. Police Department now, but he was formerly a stand captain. He had his own stand, and he would, you know, point his laser pointer at it very often, and, you know, it's kind of really strange stories.
Wow. All right, well, we're going to take our second break here. Stay with us, Dan. You're listening to The Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show, and if you're listening, you can join us live in our chat room by going to the darknessradio.com website. Click on the Listen tab. There you'll see a link that says "Live." Join the live chat here. Click that. You can sign in and come be a part of the network there with, you know, anytime we have anywhere between 38 to 60 different people in there that are enjoying the paranormal and want to share their stories and ideas as well. So join us, spend a little time, and if you have any questions, if you're in the chat room and you have questions for Dan Gordon, our guest this evening, feel free to chime in. We'll be back with more right after this.
Once you have seen Dave and Tim in the light, you'll understand why we must return to the darkness on the edge of town. Stay tuned. There is more to come. When Dave was a young boy, he once awoke to find himself staring directly into the eyes of a shadow person. Turns out it was just his life-size cardboard cutout of Donny Osmond.
Go away.
Welcome back to The Darkness on the Edge of Town.
And welcome back to the show. You're listening to Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. And Tim and I are glad that you do. Thanks a lot for sharing your Sunday nights with us here. We're here with you each week live from 10 to midnight. You can tune into our show, listen to it, tell your friends and relatives, coworkers. Remember, you can also download our show. We have it in MP3 format on our website so that you can take it with you, burn it on the disc, share it, let everybody know about the show. We'd appreciate you spreading the word. I do want to make a really cool announcement here. Now, for those of you that are trying to attend the Eastern State Penitentiary trip with us, we are sold out. We've got a ginormous waiting list for people that want to get to the Eastern State trip. We just don't have room. However, I will make a quick mention. There is a really cool event that takes place the week after the Eastern State event. It is Patrick Burns Ghost Stock that takes place in very haunted Savannah, Georgia. We have worked out a couple of cool deals, one that's going to be announced in a couple weeks, but we are announcing tonight we have a special deal for all people that sign up for Ghost Stock. If you go on right now and sign up for Ghost Stock by going to ghoststock.com, that's GHOSTOCK.com, sign up, you get to hear some fantastic speakers, you get to haunt or investigate some of the most haunted spots there in Savannah. There's a special deal for every attendee that comes. Your name is put into a drawing. And check this out, Tim. Their names will be drawn. We will draw one name. That person will win a pair of tickets to the Stanley November 2008 retreat. Ooh. And a free hotel room at the Stanley for the entire event.
Really?
That's right. It's over $1,000 that you get off of this deal.
Wow.
I don't know if that's true. I just think it sounded good.
I say go for 2,000.
It's about $300 a ticket, so that's $600. Your hotel room for 3-4 nights would be
$5,000.
That's right. It's worth $5 quadrillion. Quadrillion.
Quadrillion?
Yes. So here's your opportunity. If you want to partake in two great events, or at least get your chance to, go sign up right now for ghoststock.com. It takes place in Savannah, Georgia in May. I believe it's the second weekend in May. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'll be out there. There's going to be a lot of other great speakers that are joining the fray. Michael and Marty Perry, the fantastic mediums out of Long Beach, California, are going to be out there. Patrick Burns, of course, from True TV's Haunting Evidence. And there's a possibility that we may be joined by John Oliver from Haunting Evidence as well. We're waiting to hear some other feedback. So check it out. Sign up. It's a great deal. $150 for the whole weekend to get you in for the entire event.
Mm-hmm.
I believe if you come as a couple, or you know, you and a pair, it's only $250. And if you check, I think there's even a deal for groups of six or more. They have a special price on there as well. I think it's like $600, and it gets all of you in for six or more in a group. So check out the website. It's well worth it. It's an amazing event. I had such a great time last year. And the investigations, he gets like 15 locations to investigate. And breaks you up into groups of like 3 to 4 people to send you off to investigate in these locations. So check it out. And again, you might win a chance to go to the Stanley Hotel in November 2008. We'll supply you with a room at the Stanley and free admission to the event. We're going to get back into our ghostly talk this evening about...
you said we're getting back into ghostly talk.
We're getting back into some... I'm sorry. Would it be better to say this is more of like a spirit talk thing?
Oh, no.
I can't do that. Listen, all right. We're night watching here on the darkness, right? No, I can't get away with that either. All right.
You know, let's go beyond reality right now and then talk about baseball.
All right. We've now mentioned all of our friends' paranormal radio shows.
Okay.
So join us back. We're back with Dan Gordon, who's the author of a fantastic book about the paranormal haunted baseball. And the book is out. It's in its fourth printing already. Am I right on that, Dan?
Right. Yeah. It's been selling pretty well. We've been, I think people, you know, definitely... You know, like the topic, or just, you know, some of this, we covered a lot of stories, and yeah, it's been great.
Well, let's hear. Give me your top three list. What are three of your very favorite ghost stories that you collected in this, and who chimed in on it and told you about these ghost stories?
Sure, one of my favorite, and I don't know if it's a ghost story or what, but police termed it a ghost story. So the idea that a former trainer, Jimmy Warfield, in Cleveland, came back to visit the team in the form of a bird. They talk about it. Jimmy Warfield was really popular among players, and he kind of had a brain aneurysm in the clubhouse, and he died. And a bird showed up on the field that night, and kind of hung out for 6 days, and hung really close to Jim Thome, popular third baseman now with the White Sox. But you know he basically Thome and him were best friends, and hung really close to the spot where Warfield used to sit. And players were, not only players, but tons of front office people too, but guys like Jim Thome and Omar Vizquel, Milton Bradley, CC Sabathia, they all swore that there was definitely something going on there. And we also had a ton of stories, mentioning how when they had a memorial service at the Terrace Club for the for Warfield, that actually the bird circled the bases and then flew off into the night and wasn't seen again. So it's just a really bizarre.
Is there film footage of this? Did anybody get this recorded, Dan?
Oh, it's definitely some game footage, and there were times when the bird actually walked across the field or had to be shooed off the mound, and so there's game footage. But yeah, I don't think there's not a. I don't think there was a camera's following the bird around or anything. I'm sure the camera's kind of.
Well, no, I just wondered on that final. I mean, that would have been a dramatic piece of footage to see him fly around the bases and then take off and be gone. That would be amazing to see. I didn't know if you actually had seen footage of that, or was it just one of those urban legends that's been passed down?
It's kind of an urban legend, but I talked to several witnesses and, big name players that talked about that and actually seeing that. So it's kind of, a little bit of both, yeah.
All right. What is it? What's the famous saying when legend becomes true? How does that go, Tim? I can't remember the stupid saying. I just lost my mind on the middle of this conversation here.
When legend becomes truth, so are the days of our lives.
Yes, print the legend, right? Isn't that what it is?
Something like that.
All right. So that's one of your ghost stories. What? Now that's a pretty neat one. So maybe it was the spirit they think of this fallen player that was just there to kind of say goodbye and then took off, huh? What other stories do you really like out of the book that you felt were really compelling? Proof of the afterlife or the paranormal in baseball?
There's a story of Sherm Feller, the PA announcer for the Red Sox for close to 25 years. He had kind of a deep baritone voice and kind of very distinctive, and when people heard his voice, they automatically thought of Fenway Park. He was just a great character in the game and really well-loved. He actually wrote symphonies, and Freddie Lynn, former center fielder of the Red Sox, actually paid for one of his symphonies to be published and ended up, being still performed to this day. It's called The Ode to JFK. And he's believed to haunt the PA booth at Fenway Park, and they talk about seeing his ghost in there and, strange things happening in the booth, headsets flying off the desk and, bizarre things happening with the equipment. And, maybe it's not the most compelling proof, but it's just something that I definitely, a lot of witnesses and also just kind of a very, for me personally, it was a great story because I remember Sherm Feller's voice quite distinctively. And the current PA announcer, he talks to, he thinks he's talking all the time to the ghost of Sherm Feller, during the game and beforehand. So it's kind of neat.
How about Harry Carey? I would think if anybody was going to haunt the media booth, it would be Harry. Have you heard any ghost stories about Harry at all?
Yeah, actually at Wrigley, there's a ton of ghost stories. And, in Chicago, there's just a lot of stories of, people's, security guards at night talk all the time about seeing somebody or seeing a shadow of somebody or hearing their voice called out or hearing the bullpen phone ring coming from the clubhouse. And back in 98, the Cubs actually, after going through a number of losing seasons in a row, they actually started winning, and the team kind of tongue-in-cheek but in fun, but also Harry Carey had passed away during that offseason. They
right.
called in Ursula Bielski, who does a lot of investigations Chicago, and a whole crew, and she told us about that, they asked her to go up into the booth where Harry Carey is, and then, they ended up, not finding any, energies there or with the equipment, but they found stuff in the bleachers, and it made them wonder whether maybe some fans or old bleacher bums there, might still be hanging out. But a popular theory, though, there is actually that Charlie Grimm, a former manager, is there, and they talk about sometimes seeing him. So, a ton of stories there.
But nothing supposedly with Harry at this point, or what?
Nothing definite. We did talk to a tavern owner, a friend of Harry's, who believes that he had kind of some strange things happen to his phone lines, and somehow he makes a connection with Harry Carey. But nothing definite. Nobody actually seeing him. At least not yet. Nothing we've heard yet, but I'm sure we just scratched the surface with these stories. In baseball, there's so many, there's got to be more there.
Yeah, no doubt. I would assume that that would just be the way around. Now, what's your... Yeah, go ahead, Tim. You got a question?
Well, I wanted to ask Dan about another Chicago legend, Shoeless Joe Jackson. You know, you've seen in some of the movies like Field of Dreams and Eight Men Out, Shoeless Joe shows up whenever there needs to be a ballpark built or whatever. Are there sightings of Shoeless Joe either at Comiskey or Wrigley or somewhere in Chicago?
Well, there's actually, this one is definitely in the urban legend category of some of the players on the White Sox. Like, there's a seagull that hangs out in the right field, and the guys kind of think that maybe that's Shoeless Joe. But it's just kind of a, I don't know where it started, and nobody has any evidence or anything like that. You know, Joe Creedy told us about it originally, and the guys talk about that. But actually, you know, there's also a story about at the old Comiskey at the site where the, some people claim to have seen his wife waiting for him after games. But actual sightings of him, we haven't heard. One of his teammates, Buck Weaver, though, he's a very, you know, like Shoeless Joe, he you know, did incredibly well during the, that series back in 1919. And but he was, you know, like Shoeless, he was banned because he knew about the betting and didn't do anything about it.
Yeah, Buck was one of the innocent ones too, wasn't he?
Right, exactly. Yeah. And there's a gentleman, a doctor, he's a professor at the University of Illinois Champaign, and he actually believes that you know, he's seen the ghost on, of Buck Weaver on many occasions. He actually got married at home plate at Comiskey, and that's where he says he first saw him. And he claims that, you know, at that time, a Weaver said to him, clear my name. And he claims again, he saw him a second time at the same site. And even driving down on Route 7, Interstate 72 in southern Illinois, you know, he claims that a road sign that's supposed to say Argenta, exit 150 or something like that, actually changed and said, restore my honor. So,
very cool.
You know. Yeah.
Well, Dan, I appreciate you spending time with us. We only have about a minute left, but I was wondering, I don't know if you'd be interested in doing this. What I'd love to do sometime is, could we pull some of the strings you've used to get into these clubs? And what do you say about going on an investigation with Tim and I? And let's see if we can actually back up or substantiate any of these weird findings. Maybe that'd be a great sequel for your book.
I think that would be awesome. That would be great. Yeah. Right.
Well, why don't we do that? We'll get in touch off air. We'll talk about this and let's put it together because, I mean, this is America's pastime, and right now the paranormal's at an all-time high. We'd love to kind of marry the two together and just for our own sake, go out and investigate some, you know, of the richest part of Americana history. Continued luck with this book, and again, hopefully we can be a part of book two in this series. And, Dan, people, if they want to reach out to you or want to see your website, where can they find more information?
Our website, hauntedbaseball.com, and our book's out there in stores and online, so, yeah.
Well, thank you very much for spending your time with us this evening, and again, let's get in touch off air, and let's get out there and investigate some of these places.
Sure, okay. Thanks a lot, Dave.
Thank you very much, Dan. And thank you all for tuning in to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. We're going to be back in the second hour. We're going to be talking with our guest, Michelle Bellinger. She's written a book. It's an amazing book called Psychic Dreamwalking. And we're going to talk about that, find out what's the difference between dreamwalking, astral projection, dreamscaping. We're going to find out all that and more right after this.